Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Audience as well. So, you know, for those who may not have heard me before, I always like to start off by just sharing that basically what I like to look at is the mechanics of this whole spiritual process. How do you really make it work? Because otherwise what happens is we hear all this information and it gets caught in our intellect and it never really ends up in our experience. So how do we make it work? And that's sort of what these talks are about. This is, the second one in the Salvation in Gospel Wisdom. And again, as we read Scripture, is understanding that there's much more to the Scripture than we actually see, that we actually understand. And keeping in mind, too, that this concept that during those 18 years between 12 and 30, Jesus spent some time in China and some time in India. So he was very much introduced to the concepts of the traditions of yoga and meditation and so forth, because Indian religion is thousands of years old, much older than Christianity. So he was very much probably influenced by that. So we want to kind of keep that in mind as we talk about the teachings of Jesus. But in this lesson, the salvation in the gospel, as in most of our lessons, we're exploring different ways that spiritual transformation occurs. And the basis for transformation can be found in the adage that Paul spoke about and recorded in Romans 12:2, when he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so that's a process that we're constantly going through. How do I renew my thinking process? Now, yes, it's interesting from an intellectual standpoint, we've been doing that forever. Am I right? Okay, so we've been constantly renewing our mind from an intellectual perspective, but what we're trying to look at here is how do I renew my mind beyond the intellect? Because as Jesus said of John the Baptist, he who is greatest in the kingdom of the earth is less than he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. So the intellect is not going to get us there. Okay, it can keep evolving, but it's not going to get us to the spiritual transformation we're talking about. So in this word, to allow spiritual transformation to occur, you know, we talk about this idea of becoming still. I must say that every single week, become still, and allow a new understanding and a new wisdom to unfold inside of us. Now, the reason I use the word allow is to emphasize that our transformation occurs more from the process of letting and being than from the process of hoping and trying, okay? So letting and being is a Holy Spirit process, okay? I let go and let God. Remember, I tell you one of my meditations, inhale, I let go, exhale, I let God. So when stuff is bothering you, you can't get your head together, just take a moment, inhale, I let go, I let God, okay? So letting go and letting and being is a Holy Spirit process, while hoping and trying is an ego intellectual process. Okay? So if we just understand that dynamic, then we could say, all right, here I am. Remember, neither one of them are bad. We're not talking about good or bad. We're talking about just recognizing where you are. Okay? So if you're in this hoping and trying process, you say, okay, my ego is really fully at work here. I can't seem to get beyond it. But when you can let go and let God, that's a whole different process. So, you know, as is expressed in Titus 3:5, God saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of God's mercy. God washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now again, so because we'll always say, what can I do to make myself more spiritual? It's really not about what can I do. The best thing I can do, the only real thing I can do, as I said, is just let go, okay? And if you heard me say before, God is constantly begetting the only begotten. So simply meaning that we're always being renewed. So we do things to go, oh man, why did I do that? Why do I keep doing this over and over again? But when you become still, it allows the Holy Spirit the opportunity to renew you. You with me? As you heard me say before, I think I was talking in another context with somebody else, is that the real cleansing of the body happens when your stomach is absolutely empty. Okay? Not when you're, you know how you say I'm hungry? Typically, when you're hungry, that's just your habit of I want to eat. But when you fast long enough that your stomach actually becomes empty, then the body can do what it naturally does, which is healing. So when you become still, it's the same idea. You're working to still your mind so that the Holy Spirit can then come in and do its work, right? It's doing its work all the time, but it's like your body is trying to do its work all the time, but if you keep putting garbage in, the body goes, more garbage, all right? And same thing, the Holy Spirit is doing its work all the time, but if you keep putting in these negative dynamics, the Holy Spirit goes, okay, I'll keep doing what I'm doing while you're doing what you're doing, all right? And let's see who wins out, all right? So the key here is you want to get to the place where you really have the affirmation going on within you. I am open and receptive to God's living Spirit of truth. I am open and receptive to God's living Spirit of truth. Say that with me. I am open and receptive to God's living Spirit of truth. That is the truth that you want always functioning inside of you. So if we go to Psalm 119, 4 through 12, this is what we read. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways would be steadfast in obeying your decrees. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. How can I stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. So that's the psalmist saying, Spirit, help me with this process, right? I know you have the laws that I'm supposed to follow, but, you know, it's like Paul said, the very thing that I should not do is what I do, and what I should do is what I do not do, all right? And so that's sort of the process we're trying to work through. And, you know, that teaching, and it says, teach me your decrees, that teaching comes when we learn to become still and listen. Now, in today's lesson, we will investigate the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And what, you know, what we're going to try to understand here is how do I allow divine wisdom to become the basis for the way that I perceive and understand what is occurring in my life. So this is the biggest thing of all that we are dealing with. Because remember, life is an experience that we learn from, right? Life is a classroom. The experience is a lesson. So every experience that's coming has something to teach us, but without wisdom, we cannot always detect what that is we're supposed to learn, all right? So let's start by asking ourselves a question that I've been contemplating myself. Remember, all these lessons come out of the stuff I'm trying to deal with in my own dynamic. This question here, are you aware of the spiritual knowledge you presently know but are not using to better your life? Are you aware, thank you for asking, are you aware of the spiritual knowledge you presently know but are not using to better your life? I mean, most of us, right? There's stuff that we know, but in a time when it's time to implement it, it's like, yeah, it's just not in the forefront of our mind, okay? And for many of us, you know, we're guilty of saying that we've heard things before. You know, you go, well, I've heard that before. You know, like my kids, they're 18, 19 years old at the college, and I play some of these, you know, motivational films, and they look at me and go, you weren't inspired by that? Oh, I heard that before. 18 years old, I mean, you heard it before, so what? I mean, you know what it means, right? Okay? But we're also guilty of that. I've heard that before. I already know that. So the logical question that naturally follows is, okay, but are you using the knowledge that you have in your everyday life? Okay? And if the answer is no, this lack of dedicated practice is what we are looking at in this series. Okay? Why am I not dedicated in using these ideas that I know in every aspect of my life? Now, Why are we also not living from the spiritual principle? As expressed earlier, you have laid down precepts that are to be followed fully. Oh, that my ways would be steadfast in obeying your decrees. And so the psalmist is singing. The psalmist is saying, Lord, you know, why can't I always follow your decrees? And that's what we're trying to understand. So now we're not saying that we have not made some significant advances in the way that we live our lives, you know, because we have, right? Every one of us who've been studying truth have made significant advances in the way that we live our lives. What we're striving to become aware of is that there is possibly much unused or underutilized spiritual knowledge still floating around in our heads. Stuff that we just have not applied yet. So again, the question for each of us to ponder in this lesson is, why am I not using it? Why am I not applying what I know to my life? And it's very possible that our struggle could be that we did try to use spiritual principles in certain aspects of our lives, and it just didn't seem to work. Okay? And so it's sort of like you keep trying, you just kind of let it go. Pam and I went to a discussion? Yeah, discussion at the college. The title was Why Religion is Decreasing and Spirituality is Increasing. Okay? So I thought it was a professor. Religious affiliation. Thank you. It was decreasing and spirituality is increasing. So I was thinking that it was going to be a professor of religion or something who's going to give a real deep talk on this. But what it ended up being was people talking about the struggles that they had in their lives and where was God. Which is a legitimate discussion. You get what I'm saying? It's a legitimate discussion when we don't understand that this idea of God is, because where was he when I was going through this? And many of us in here, we have to acknowledge, might have had the same feeling. Where was he when I was going through this? But we know the Spirit is always with us because there's no place that we can be that Spirit is not. The key is, am I more tuned into my ego and all of its dynamics, or am I able to tune into the spiritual aspects of me and the guidance it's trying to give me? That's the process. And some of the things that people described were horrific. And I can understand when you're going through something horrific, you're really wondering, where is God? Am I right? Okay. So we want to be realistic with the fact that some life experiences just put us in a space where it's really difficult to use these spiritual ideas. So our real quest in all of our study is try to understand that the present dynamics of our mind in relationship to the truth. So what are the present dynamics of my mind in relationship to the truth? If we truly understood the power of our mind and how great a creative force it is, and that in truth we are the master of it, we would no longer be at its mercy. Okay? In one of the gurus that I watched, somebody asked him, how do I stop my mind from thinking? And the guru answered, why would you want the greatest power on the universe to stop thinking? You get it, right? And that's, so what he was getting at was, you want to be able to control it, master the thought. But the thought is never going to stop, all right? And sometimes that's what we don't. Don't you ever think that when you're trying to have meditation? Why can't I stop these thoughts from going through my head, all right? So if we truly understood this power, we would understand that the key we're trying to get to is how do I master it? To understand your mind and how to master its power is to be free from fear and worry. So the study of truth is about understanding the extraordinary power of our mind and how to take charge of it and be free of its whimsical, erratic nature. Our mind loves to create dramatic stories. Something happens, and remember I always say that your mind just goes off. It just creates all these stories around what is, you know, most of it never even ever happens. But your mind just creates all these stories. So the key here is your mind is going to create stories. But you wanted to create different stories. You wanted to create stories wrapped around the truth and not illusion. Does that make sense? Okay. So this idea may sound like a conundrum because many of us believe that we have no control over what we think, that we are at the mercy of our emotional reactions to the events and circumstances in our lives. Stuff happens, we react. Am I right? Or is it just me? Maybe it's just me. Okay. All right. But stuff happens and we react. So the purpose of spiritual study is to help us wake up from the illusion that we are at the mercy of the events and circumstances in our lives, and to show us that we can become masters of our minds through eliminating the turmoil we sometimes experience in our lives. We become the master. We become the ones who determine what we think. Okay, and even when, I know, I'll tell you, even in the beginning when you start doing this, you'll go, no, I'm not thinking that. I'm going to think this. And as you're thinking this, in the background of your mind, that other stuff is still going on. Am I right? Okay. So again, Paul cautioned us, and these are Bible verses you've heard before, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to any longer to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay. Now, the reason why I use Bible verses over and over again is because each time I read them, I get a different understanding. All right? So be not no longer conformed to the world. You know? And a lot of times that's what happens. You know, you get into discussion with people. And like, well, there's an impeachment thing going on here, and this is going on here, and this is, and we get all wrapped up in all the dynamics of that. And it takes us away from what is really true. So a way to become the master of your mind is to learn how to pray the higher prayer. Okay? So what does it mean to pray the higher prayer? So let me give an example. You find that you have a need for more of something, more health, more money, more whatever. Okay? To pray for more money, for example, is a way of acknowledging that you believe that lack is your true reality. And you see how the mind goes, what? Yeah, but it is. So I need some more money, or I need better health, or I need, you know, and the intellect is going, this is the deal. God, fix it. Okay, so the higher prayer here would be to ask Spirit to help you raise your mind to that level in consciousness where the belief in lack does not exist. To raise your mind to that level where you would know without a doubt that God is a true reality and the abundant support source of all your supply. Our spiritual work is to allow our minds to be raised to know in our heart and soul that we are at the level where Spirit is. Otherwise, what happens is that you ask God for more money and God answers your prayer. How many people have had answered prayer? Okay, so the key here is, if you got your prayer answered, but you stayed at the same level at which you asked for it, what you get from God, you're going to use up, and you got to go back to God like Amazon and ask for it again. So it's not about asking God to give you more of something, more health or whatever, but to raise you to the level of consciousness where you realize that you are whole, that you are abundant. That's tough. It's so much easier to ask Daddy to give you more money. Am I right? Okay. So to illustrate to this point, again, our normal way of thinking is that we pray for exactly what we need. Stay with me. I'm not saying don't do that. You get me? I'm not saying don't do that. But what we're trying to understand is what is the higher level of prayer? Okay, we're exploring the possibility that praying the higher prayer does not mean asking God to fulfill the physical, mental, emotional things we think we are lacking. Instead, praying the higher prayer means to ask God to raise you up from the level of thinking and the false beliefs that may be contributing to the predicament of lack, limitation, sickness, hopeless, despair, or whatever that you're experiencing. Remember? Because everything is consciousness. Everything is consciousness. And so what I'm experiencing it because I'm at the level of consciousness that's producing that. It's a harder concept to grasp. I realize that. Right? So praying the higher prayer is asking God to help your unbelief that with God, all things are possible. Praying the higher prayer is asking God to help your unbelief that with God, all things are possible. So if we go again to Scripture, this is a story you all know very well, Mark 9, 14 through 30, where when Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, John, and James, faith, love, and wisdom, okay, and was met by a crowd. Now a man approached Jesus and asked him to cast the dumb spirit that was affecting his son. The man was dismayed and discouraged because the disciples had been unsuccessful in their attempt to heal the boy. And that's another story that Jesus dealt with after this, why they were not able to heal the boy, because they were supposed to be able to heal the boy, all right? But anyway, the man was discouraged because they couldn't heal the boy. So Jesus said to the man, I will do this if you believe it can be done, because all things are possible for him who believes. And when Jesus spoke the words, the man suddenly became aware that he was believing that his son could not be healed. All right? Remember, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man got it. He said, this is not happening because I don't believe it can happen. All right? And when he realizes, he immediately cried out to Jesus, help my unbelief. And so what we're exploring is that praying the higher prayer is not just about asking the Holy Spirit to fulfill your immediate identifiable need, rather is asking the Holy Spirit to help your unbelief. Because in our time of desperation and need, our unbelief is what in that moment has us under the influence of thinking it can't be done. Okay? And if it is where we are, we want to be more in the process of letting and being than in the process of trying and hoping. Okay? We forget that God is a source of our supply, and he's our protector, our comforter, our guide. And no matter what we say to the contrary, our feelings and emotions are a true indicator of where we are in consciousness in any particular moment. You can do all the affirmations you want, but if your emotions are wrapped up in whatever you're struggling with, those affirmations are not going to help. All right? So the key, let me say this again. Your feelings and emotions are a true indicator of where we are in consciousness in any moment. And this actually is a good thing. What I mean by this is that the feelings and emotions are a good indicator because they help us to understand what do we really believe in this moment. So feelings and emotions are great. If you're all distraught and you're going, oh, God, I'm going to get through this, then you can say to yourself, this is where I am. I'm in a period of unbelief. All right? And so the father in the story understood that he was in consciousness. Where he was in consciousness, when he questioned Jesus, he immediately began to understand. And he said, he prayed the high prayer, help my unbelief. Now, at this point, he did not say, heal my son. He said, help my unbelief. He said, heal me of my unbelief that my son can be healed. That's really powerful when you get it. So it is our unbelief that we need healing from. However, Unity teaches that praying for God to fulfill our immediate need is a legitimate use of prayer when we are still operating at the materialistic level of consciousness. We have to be where we are. Is everybody? Remember it. Self-observation, say it with me, without condemnation. We're never condemning ourselves to where we are. We're always embracing exactly where we are in this moment. But the key is realizing where we are and not letting ourselves stay there, okay? So in a literal interpretation here of praying for things that we really need, that's a literal interpretation of give us this day our daily bread. Father, give me this day my daily bread. Give me that what I need right now, okay? It's praying with the knowledge, not the wisdom, that prayer works. Did you catch that? So when you're praying from a materialistic consciousness, you're praying with the knowledge but not the wisdom that prayer works. But there is a higher meaning to that scripture, which is, give us the understanding of the supersubstantial bread from heaven. The super substantial bread from heaven is the wisdom of God, the wisdom to know that with God all things are possible. So when you say, give us this, give me this day my daily bread, you're saying, give me the wisdom to know that you're in charge of my life and affairs, that all these things I'm struggling with, I don't really have to struggle with them. I just need to learn how to let God, let go, and let God, okay? So to pray with wisdom is to ask the Christ within to raise our mind above the mental, emotional state, which is supporting the belief in lack, limitation, and sickness that we're struggling with, all right? And that's what we always do. We always want to be raised up. So typically, we cannot pray with wisdom as we are. We cannot pray with wisdom as we are. We cannot pray with wisdom as we are. Typically, the normal state of the human mind is at the level where it believes it is lacking something, whatever that may be, and it needs God to fulfill that need. Even though I know this stuff, I still find myself a lot of times at that materialistic level of consciousness. So you get what I'm saying? You know, here I am, the one who studies this all the time, is still struggling to operate at that higher level. Okay? But when our mind begins to grasp the wisdom in the knowledge it possesses, it is elevated to a level where it begins to understand that in truth, it is lacking nothing. When you get to a point where you say, I'm not lacking anything, no matter what's going on, because you know you're tapped into the source. But it's important to emphasize here that we can only pray from the mental, emotional level in which we presently find ourselves. But to get to that higher level of prayer, we've got to do the work to get us there. We've got to do that work. That's practicing being still. That's practicing your meditation time, you know, your prayer time. Is putting in the practice to get yourself to elevate. So until our level of understanding is raised, we will continue to be affected in the same way by the events and circumstances in our lives, and our prayer will be reflective of what we believe is occurring in our lives. So if you always hear yourself telling that story about what's going on with you, and again, I don't want to say it like it's a joke, and you, because a lot of times it's fulfilling for us to have somebody we can talk to who can help us get through something. Is that you with me? So we always got to do where we are. And the key is here is there are levels in my life where I'm here, and other levels in my life where I'm at Pam's knees crying, help me, sweetie, I'm going through this. Get me out of this, right? I just want you to understand there's a dynamic that happens, and you got to understand it. In this lifetime, I don't think any of us are ever going to be where we're totally at the level of Jesus. Which is interesting, I'm going off a little bit here, is that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Nicodemus, you know, he was a scholar of Jewish law. He was the master of Jewish law. He comes to Jesus in the night, which means he came to Jesus in spiritual ignorance. And he said, how do I, enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, unless a man is born again. Now, a higher level teaching of that from an Eastern standpoint perspective is when Jesus said, unless a man is born again, because Nicodemus says, how can a man be born re-into his mother's womb? What Jesus was referring to was reincarnation. So when you're in this particular lifetime, you do the best you possibly can, and you evolve as much as you can. But you're not going to get it all in this lifetime. And so you're going to be born again, and you'll get as much as you can in that lifetime. And then you're going to be born again. So it's an eternal work. You get what I'm saying? You're constantly working at the process. And that's what Jesus was referring to, okay? So it's beginning to understand those deeper meanings. So the key here, what we want to do is, you know, our next opportunity for spiritual growth is to stop asking the question, because you know how we are, you know, here we go. Something happens. Why am I here in this circumstance or predicament? What am I supposed to learn from this? How many people ask that question? What am I supposed to learn from this, okay? So when the next opportunity for spiritual growth comes along, stop asking yourself, why am I here in this predicament and what am I supposed to learn? Instead, acknowledge, I am here and I am learning. That's it. You know, don't ask why. Just acknowledge, I am here and I'm learning. And there's really no need for a spiritual perspective to question the obvious, okay? Especially the way we question when we're, you know, where we exclaim, why am I here? Why is this happening to me? Anybody said that lately? Okay? You know, you're really asking, is this necessary? Do I really need to go through this? Why me, Lord? Okay? And quite often we're yelling at God and questioning God's wisdom and God's love. Did you get this right? Do I really need to learn this lesson? You know, and we question God. We negotiate with God. Okay? So when challenging circumstances occur in our lives, we are usually eager to get through the valley of the shadow of death as quickly as we can to get to the end, to the light. All right? It's typically not occurred to us that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no light at the end because the light we're striving for is always within. We are the light. All right? And again, if you want to go to Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world, so let your light shine. Now, metaphysically, light of the world means spiritual awareness in everyday situations. Light of the world is spiritual awareness in everyday situations. So if you're the light of the world, when stuff happens, you will automatically know what is happening. You'll get that sense. And right away, you'll get this guidance within you. You'll say, yes, this is happening. This is okay. This is what you're going to do. And what that's going to tell you to do is going to defy what your intellect would tell you to do. That's when you know it's coming from spirit. Did everybody catch the mechanics of that? Okay. All right. And so our work is to learn how to apply a new way of thinking in the events and circumstances in our lives to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The renewing of our minds is our old mind says this. We let go of that so that our new mind can give us new direction. Okay. And it's important to understand in the study of truth principles that we're not trying to patch old fabric with our present way of thinking, you know, but that's what we're trying to do. We try to take this new idea and we just stick it to what we already know, all right? And we try to make it work in that same mindset. But it says in Scripture, Jesus said this, Luke 5:36, no one tears a piece from new fabric and tries to put it upon an old garment. If he does, he will have torn the new, and the piece from the new will not fit the old. Okay, so it is our work to learn how to come to spirit in prayer with a fresh, new mind. Stuff happens, it's going to happen. You come to spirit with a whole new mindset. No, Lord, why me? Why do I have to go through this? None of that. Just become still. You know, and you like the music that these wonderful people played this morning, listening to music like that, sitting quiet with headphones on so that you can really get the vibration of it, right? And just watch your breathing and listening to wonderful music like that. That helps to elevate you, okay? So I invite you to try this. Every time you feel yourself being pushed off your spiritual center, turn to spirit and say with conviction, Lord, here I am. Heal me, guide me, shape me, and form me in your way. I am truly ready to follow. Amen.